first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots, jackboot and thugs alike. It is that time again as the TNT radio show, Tuesday Night Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. Today is Tuesday, October the 14th, and we got all kinds of stuff on the old freedomcounter.com to start out with. First thing we'll start out with is, of course, it was Columbus Day this week. We're not supposed to talk about Columbus anymore because he was just an old white guy. We're not supposed to talk about old white guys in history. We also have this week in history, the United States Mint was established in 1786. We got the Mason-Dixon line was established this week in 1767. If you go way back on the history charts, this week, 1781, Cornwallis surrendering at Yorktown. So there you go with this week in history. I'm a little distracted right now, ladies and gentlemen. I've been handling an issue outside our yard here in our front yard where all kinds of idiots are trying to cause trouble and want to be on our private property. So I apologize if I have the ear on the show with the eye out the window here. But a lot of things going on. Didn't really want to spend the night talking about the false debate, phony debate, pseudo debate, faux debate, however you want to call it, between the Turtle Man, Mitch McConnell, and Alison Wonderland Grimes. They had their little sit-down pep rally, their hour-long infomercial paid for by our tax dollars. And, of course, as mentioned on these airwaves, on Ken Moman's Sunday night show, all candidates were not invited to speak. And we're kind of pissed off about that because that does not make it a debate if all candidates are not allowed to speak. We know that David Patterson had to gather thousands and thousands of signatures to get on the ballot, but KUT, paid for by our tax dollars, didn't think they were worthy enough to be on the infomercial that they call a debate. So I thought it was interesting when out on the social networks, the Louisville Tea Party was asking people what they think about the debate. And I will remind you, this is the same Louisville Tea Party that did not let David Patterson speak to their group. And I understand their explanation, their reasoning, their wording, their excuse, whatever you want to call it, was because he asked too late to speak to their group and they already were busy with all these other candidates. And they also explained that they didn't know if they wanted a third-party candidate to speak on their show or at their meeting, excuse me. So when the Louisville Tea Party asked on their social network what I think about the McConnell versus Grimes fake debate last night, if I learned anything, I told them, well, by quote-unquote debate, do you mean the non-debate between two establishment puppets, which chose to black out and exclude the third candidate on the ballot? By debate, quote-unquote, do you mean the one-hour infomercial paid for by our tax dollars, focused on who voted for whom and who likes Obama the most and who likes Obama the least? And I said KET should be ashamed, as should any group, that disallows all candidates on the ballot to be heard. Now, as usual, if you're already listening on the airwaves and you want to talk to us, just press the 1 key. I see we have one person already who wants to get in on the show. And if you haven't called in yet and you'd like to, the number, as always, 858-683-1326, 858-683-1326. And we will go to the first caller in just a couple of minutes here. Don't recognize the number, except for it's coming in as a landline phone number. out of the Bakersfield, California area. So we'll go to it in a moment, see if it's a legitimate caller or not. But like I said, I didn't really want to watch the fake debate. If I'm going to watch famous millionaires on TV, I would have rather had this show, quote unquote, be competitive and at least consist of those who can deliver and take a hit, kind of like Monday Night Football. I don't want them to be effeminate ones like McConnell, who surrounds himself with bodyguards and aides and runs his mouth about how he wants to punch the team. He remembers that back in the primary process. And that sure the hell doesn't mean I have any love lost for Allison Lundgren Grimes. I met her about a year ago and was far less than impressed. So again, that's our big U.S. Senate race that we've kind of avoided here on these airwaves for the most part. I haven't got to hear what Ed and Ed have talked about recently on the Ed Springsteen show here on the Miami Matters Radio Network, but I sure haven't been talking about the U.S. Senate race. Hell, even the Democratic Party isn't excited about the U.S. Senate race anymore. The Democratic Party came out and basically in no unknown terms made it clear they're pulling out of the race. And Washington Post was talking about that this afternoon, talking about how important it was because the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee had pulled its TV advertising, for the final 3 weeks of the Senate race. And that decision effectively left Allison Lundgren Grimes, or Blunderland Grimes as we call her, on her own. And it's rightly read as a sign that National Democrats believe that the race is over. So the DSCC's decision to pull out of Kentucky, a race in which they had spent months insisting that it was a close race, now recognizing that this is a year, for better or worse, on that false left-right paradigm, that the national political climate is against them. Their party's best chances to hold a majority now are trying to hold on to their endangered incumbents. Now, for better or worse, unscreened, we will go to our first caller. After you hear the beep, you will be on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hi, my name is Daryl. How are you?
Daryl, I'm great. How are you tonight?
I'm well. I was tuning in. I was kind of passing by, and I saw your show name. And I just decided it was my first time actually listening, and I actually am enjoying the show thus far. I will be listening more.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Are you, without me being too nosy, because I'm one of those people who believes that a lot of the stuff that they're collecting data is none of our damn business. Are you in the Kentucky area or calling from out in California or just a California number?
No, I'm actually calling from Illinois.
Oh, nice. Maybe the information on the social networks was wrong. I was reading that area code, and I won't obviously read any information over the airwaves, but I thought it was California, so it's good to hear you.
I'm calling in from
Illinois. Do you have any?
I'm in the Midwest.
Oh, okay. Any exciting races out your way that gets you as worked up as this wonderful and tongue in cheek planted firmly race between McConnell and Grimes?
Well, not particularly. There's not much happening here. We are in the home district of Barack Obama. So everybody around here is almost pretending like, it's not happening because everybody around here is freaked out that we are responsible. We feel responsible for sending this guy to the White House. And we, as a city, we just almost want to apologize. So when political things come up at this point, we don't even think about it because we want to just pretend like politics doesn't exist. But what's getting me going is this North Carolina race that has Clay Aiken in it. Now, I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on this, because at first I thought it was just like some sort of publicity stunt, but now I'm wondering whether or not this guy might actually be able to win.
Well, that's a very good question, Daryl. I think you said your name was. And the way I look at it, he won that congressional primary, and I'm like you. At first you think, okay, is this one of these pretend candidates? Is this like a circus act? Is this like a novelty, I guess is the term I'm looking for? But remember, back in the primary, I put that little asterisk next to it, he won the primary. His congressional primary opponent died all of a sudden.
Yeah, and there was a lot of conspiracy theories going on around.
I didn't want to say that. I'm usually accused of being the conspiracy show. What's your opinion about that?
I am definitely of the belief that, I don't know this for sure, but I am definitely, my finger was, I'm looking directly at Clay Aiken with a side eye about that. And if anything happens to this woman that he's running against, we got to investigate this.
Well, it kind of reminds me of that, as much of a segue as I can get into what I saw happen this week. I don't know if you saw this happen, caller. I saw earlier, and I'm trying to quickly pull up the information down. I don't use Google. For those who listen to the show, no, I don't really think Google needs any more information about me than they already have. But there was a Libertarian candidate who died in a plane crash in the last 48 hours. Did you read about this?
I did not.
In Iowa. He was actually a candidate for U.S. Senate in Iowa as a Libertarian. Now, on this show, we get a lot of grief from the neocon Republican Party. They piss their depends when they hear us talk about Libertarian candidates. But this guy was in a hotly contested Iowa Senate race, and he died yesterday. Dr. Douglas Boutier, if I'm saying that name right, in the French version of it, was in a single-engine plane when it crashed late last night, actually, it says. And this crashed out of the blue. This guy is supposed to be a trained pilot and knows what he's doing. And I know we had a lot of crazy weather in the Midwest and the South last night, but he was a 59-year-old Libertarian candidate running in a U.S. Senate race, and he wasn't getting a lot of traction. He was really honestly in single digits, but as anybody who follows this show knows, that sometimes has to do with what little media attention they give him. But he was in a
single digit. Barack Obama was in the single digits at one time.
Yeah, you're right. And this candidate, according to TV station KCRG out in Iowa, just wrecked his plane out of nowhere, and he died, sadly. I didn't know a lot about him, but it's always a little suspect when these things happen within 3 weeks of an election. Now, it makes it wonder what would have happened. Well, we know what would have happened if it was a Republican or Democrat candidate. They would have been allowed to break whatever laws on the books to put another candidate on quickly. Of course, with the Libertarian candidate, much like the cases here in Kentucky, they had to gather thousands of signatures just to get on the ballot. So when you have a Libertarian candidate who perishes suddenly and unexpectedly and sadly, it's just too bad. They don't get to replace the candidate. So I thought that was kind of interesting. We've been trying to get people to realize here in Kentucky that you have three candidates on the ballot, but all they talk about is Tweedledee and Tweedledum, McConnell and Grimes. And now, as I was saying before I brought you on the air, caller, the Democratic Senate Committee, the DSCC, has decided they're no longer going to fund commercials for Grimes. And I try to explain to people it's really easy the way that things work here. If you want to think about the two major parties and the cycle that keeps us perplexed, is that you have the globalist banksters. They launder money into these special interest groups and PACs, and then these said special interest groups will use that money to decide which candidates they want to buy off. And then the candidates they buy off will use the money to buy media time. So then what I call the junk food media will only cover them. They won't cover anybody unless they've already given them money. And then the voters won't do their own research, and they think they have to choose between candidate number one and candidate number two from what we call the uniparty, the two major parties. So guess what happens?
Right.
Those candidates get elected, and they keep protecting the banksters. Go ahead, caller.
I'm just saying another thing that will happen sometimes is, you know, you have this mysterious plane crash, which was, you know, something. The last time Clay Aiken was running, there was a mysterious death, which was something. But even if you're having a situation where you're in a runoff with another candidate, or it's neck and neck, and then right before the actual election, something happens with the candidate. So if something were to theoretically happen to this woman the day or two before the election, her supporters are probably not going to show up because, you know, she's presumed dead. Clay Aiken supporters are going to come out in mass because they want Clay Aiken to just march into the Congress, swept into Congress. So I really think that we've got to look closely into this, and not just Clay Aiken. I mean, I think this woman should have extra protection because we don't know what Clay has in mind, but just sometimes in general, certain people need to have extra protection because the world that we're living in is crazy, and the politicians that are in Washington are no more sane than the people that sent them there.
No, they're usually less sane. The difference is they're going to get a big payoff. The voters will expect an Obama phone or a free health care, and they'll be told keeping their doctor and yada, yada, yada. But I guess I just haven't really followed the Aiken race a lot, other than I remember that curiosity about the sudden death of the primary opponent. And for him to, like you say, be putting the fear of God into people, for lack of a better term, that there might be other accidents, quote unquote. Is he like a chosen puppet of the Democratic Party, or have they just latched onto him because of his celebrity?
I don't know if he may not even be a puppet. He may be more of a master than we even know, because, I mean, he went from being a joke to actually getting in there, and who knows what he had to do in order to get in there. And I'm not, you know, I don't know his schedule, but I would not be surprised if that plane that went down. I mean, if we need to find out whether or not Clay was maybe in that city and possibly did something to that. My point is, we cannot dismiss anything anymore.
Nope. No, I agree. Question everything, caller. We'll put you back in the queue so you can keep listening if you're so inclined. But hey, I don't know the caller from Adam, but he's on the pulse of the kind of stuff we talk about here, which is that you guys can't dismiss anything. You got to take all considerations seriously. You always have to wonder what's going to become of these things. Is it a conspiracy theory? Well, you know, a lot of people believe what the government tells them, so they believe in that conspiracy. I've been trying to tell people, not months, about the CDC, the question of this Ebola thing, and why our U.S. government ordered hundreds of thousands of Ebola hazmat suits, and nobody wanted to talk about that, and now it's everywhere. We have a CDC admitting Ebola cases that could have been prevented. We have good old Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, throwing, what, millions of dollars at Ebola? I guess this is out of the Democratic Party playbook. Never let a good crisis go to waste. I think Zuckerberg's money would have been much better spent with some private organization. And then you have these border doctors who were saying, by the story by Adam Salazar, that they fear Ebola may have mutated. So, you know, we're not supposed to talk about that. I realize some people think it's overkill, no pun intended, with the Ebola discussion. But if things are killing people at this cutthroat rate, and sorry with the bad adjectives there and the bad rhetoric, but if things are this serious, we can't dismiss them. As the caller said, we can't dismiss any conspiracy theories out there. So we may be getting into a little bit more of the local races here after the break. We do want to make sure everybody knows that you are listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters Radio Show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we welcome you back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for staying on over the break, taking into the bottom of the hour, the final half of the show, the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. As I was saying to the caller in the first half of the show, and it bears repeating, my interpretation of how most federal elections work, and please tell me if I'm wrong, please tell me if I'm looking at this in the wrong manner, if I'm so mistaken, I need to be corrected. But the way I see it, and like I said, please feel free to add your own addenda, but this is my interpretation that I think is spot on with about 90% of U.S. House and Senate races. Number one, the globalist banksters. They come along and launder money into special interest groups and political action committees. Number two, the political action committees send that money to buy certain candidates up. Number three, the candidates then use the money to buy media ads and airtime with some people call the mainstream press. Some people call them the liberal media. Some people call them the drive-bys. I call them the junk food media because the crap they're feeding you is not good for you. It has no nutritional, educational value. Number four, the great majority of the voters do little, very, very little to no research, and then they elect these candidates that they see all over the media. Finally, number five, the elected candidates ensure to protect the banksters and the system for future endeavors. And we repeat all the cycles. Getting a lot of messages from people agreeing with this and saying that, unfortunately, that this is definitely the way the process works. They don't agree with me that it works like this. They just agree with me that it's sickening what's happened. And it's sickening that it works out like this. They say I'm spot on. They say that there is one factor. One gentleman who's a friend of mine brought up a point. He said that one factor that could end the cycle is bitcoins. Now, we were talking about bitcoins years ago. Should have invested in it years ago. I'd probably be sitting on a pretty bitcoin right now. But my friend says bitcoins cannot be counterfeited, and it's growing in worldwide acceptance. So when bitcoins help end this vicious cycle, the banksters are done. I hope he's right. And I know more and more people are going to think or believe that I think that the answer is to put more rules in place against campaign contributions, but that's not what I'm saying. That could not be further from the truth. The banksters are going to do what banksters do. And political action committees came into existence because of the loud outcry about direct contributions. I think the responsibility falls on the candidates who are already out there. It'd be nice if they weren't bought and paid for. It'd be nice if they were in the race for their own, well, I don't even want to say their own intentions, because that's the problem lots of times, but it'd be good if they had their own honest constitutional intentions. How about that? Is that a better way of saying it? And it'd be nice if they would stand up against the machine, have the balls to stand up to this circus. Responsibility, I think, also falls on the media, the aforementioned junk food media. I think they need to develop a better business model. I think that if they had a better business model, they would not be such whores for campaign ads by candidates. Because when said candidates come spending the money around, making it rain like they're at the strip club, the media love that money because they depend on it. Because they're a dead industry. The dead tree media is dying. The trees were dead long ago, and now the media is dead. We saw even CNN laying off hundreds this week. Even the television media is dying. And finally, it falls back on the voters. The voters need to do more research rather than just blindly follow. I read this next story, and it was a bit of a, I don't know what you want to call this story. I guess it's a bit of an alarmist story, but I have to read it anyway. That is a story by black conservative leader, quote-unquote, Michael Massey. Black conservative leader, quote-unquote, because I don't know who elected him to lead. No relation to our own Thomas Massey, of course. But I'm reading a story that Paul Joseph Watson put out today. And the headline, I really get attention. And I wanted to dismiss it only because we heard this before. This quote-unquote black conservative leader says Obama could declare martial law and cancel the 2016 elections. The sub-headline says Michael Massey, I believe it's Michael, M-Y-C-H-L, could be Michael, but Mr. Massey warns that a pandemic caused by the Obama administration's failure to secure the borders and allowing infected illegals to swarm America could lead to martial law being declared and the 2016 elections being canceled. Now, I say I hesitated to read that because I know we heard that story from some people about the Clinton administration when 2000 came along. And I know we heard that story from some people about the George W. Bush administration when 2008 came along. So apparently anytime we have a president for two terms, and unfortunately the last three presidents have served two terms, make of that what you will, people expect there to be martial law following it. I would say that the problem is not the potential hard version of martial law, for lack of a better term, being declared. The problem is everything that they did to build up martial law while they were in office. That's the important part. But in an article for WorldNet Daily and relayed by Paul Joseph Watson, says that Michael Massey, former chairman of the National Leadership Network of Black Conservatives, Project 21, and I respect Project 21, they're the guys that stand up to Agenda 21, accused the White House of lying to the American people about the threat posed by the illegal aliens crossing the border with infectious diseases. Talked about this a few weeks ago. It's great to be libertarian, but I'm worried about where these people are coming from and what's being brought over with them. Complaining that Obama is working hand-in-hand with establishment Republicans like John Boehner and Karl Rove to destroy America, quote-unquote, Michael Massey accused the president of providing safe harbor for disease-carrying illegal aliens who are contributing to the resurgence of illnesses like polio, tuberculosis, and measles. Every person should be demanding Obama be made to answer why he has provided safe harbor for disease-carrying illegal aliens, diseases that have already resulted in loss of life of American children. Why is Congress silent? Where is the concern for we the people that Republicans want us to believe they have for America, asked Massey. And the columnist goes on to suggest that such crises could build to the point where they may threaten the 2016 elections. Quote, what could be more economically devastating than a disease pandemic and martial law to prevent a run on banks and to allow government-controlled media blackouts, asked Massey. In addition to the threat posed by more common diseases, hundreds of illegal aliens from Ebola-hit countries have been caught crossing the southern border in the last few months, according to the National Border Patrol Council and their spokesman, Chris Cabrera. Former Border Patrol agent Zach Taylor also revealed that the CDC, Center for Disease Control, or Center for Disease Confusion, as Matt Drudge more aptly called them, is working with Border Patrol authorities and Homeland Security to, quote, disappear potential Ebola victims who are attempting to cross the border into the U.S. Massey's comments echo those of Ben Carson. Anybody knows Ben Carson? He's another one of these guys who wants to run for president. That the 2016 elections could be put on hold due to, quote, anarchy sweeping the country as a result of administrative policies. Several other pundits have also speculated that Obama could move to cancel the president's election, including author Eric Rush, who told Alan Colmes last year that there is a 50% chance that Obama will stay in office indefinitely. This is why I hesitate to bring up this story. Much like the debate, the false debate, the phony debate, the fake debate, the pseudo debate, the non-debate on KET last night, don't know where you can go with this story. Some people will say it's shocking that a Republican accused a Democrat of such things. 8 years ago, Republicans thought it was shocking that Democrats would accuse Republicans of such things. 16 years ago, we were in the same spot where Democrats were shocked that Republicans would accuse Democrats of such things. And it goes on and on and on. Now, what about Warren Buffett? Remember, Warren Buffett said it's Hillary's turn. And I will say it again. Here is the most important part. Whether the current outbreak of Ebola is accidental, whether it's an oversight, whether it's a conspiracy, whether it's intentional, not going to get into what musicians said about it. Not going to get into what black musicians said about Ebola. But the bottom line is, whether it's a genetically engineered bioweapon that has been released deliberately, some people will say that's more likely. Whether it's a natural occurrence, some people will say that's highly unlikely. Doesn't really matter. What matters is that the permanent removal of all our constitutional rights is big government's intent. They will not hesitate to take advantage of the spread of the disease and put everyone into either slavery or a concentration camp or an early grave. What the establishment desperately hopes is that we, the people, do not realize that the Constitution is being removed. They don't want us to also realize that simultaneously the legitimacy of every form of government is being removed. The only thing that makes any federal, state, county, local, tribal government legitimate is that they derive their legitimacy from the Constitution, which of course derived it from God-given rights themselves. And once the Constitution has become declared null and void, or any part of it, then all parts of government are also null and void. Means all laws will become meaningless. Like I said, there's a lot of people out there who are counting on you all being stupid. I'm not saying you are, but every time people tell us that the people in government are stupid, no, they want to assume and want to hope and want to believe, and they pray, if they were to pray to anything other than the state, that you are the stupid person. I try to tell you people about the puppets. The puppet masters are the ones of whom you should be afraid. The puppet masters are the ones who run the banks for years and decades and now centuries. So I don't know if there's going to be martial law officially declared. I realize it's more cool to talk about Facebook and what Mark Zuckerberg's doing, and it's more cool to talk about what Republicans will do to Obamacare, which is absolutely nothing. Here in Kentucky, it's really cool for them to talk about who did Grimes vote for president. And my answer to that is, who really gives a damn who she voted for president? I'm the last person who's ever going to defend her, but I thought presidential ballots were secret ballots. A lot of people making a big deal about the fact that she said a couple of times that Kentucky's Constitution provide for a secret ballot during elections. Now, granted, I don't think that Alison Leonard Grimes is out there reading the Kentucky Constitution a lot. If she is, I would love to be wrong. Maybe we're talking about Kentucky Constitution Section 147 when it gets into the assembly, provided by law for the registration of all persons, entitled to vote, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter. Maybe she didn't vote for Obama, and she's just choosing not to share with you that she didn't vote for Obama. How many conservative Republicans out there have voted for Democrats or Libertarians or bad Republicans and nobody whatsoever? Many times you'll be in a position of choosing between two candidates that you actually like. Do they need to know how you ultimately voted? I don't think they do. I think it's a sad reflection of politics. Again, you've got KET with the phony debate, the two establishment puppets, and the phony debate, which chose to blackout and exclude the third candidate on the ballot, focus on who voted for whom, who likes Obama the most, who likes Obama the least. It's a shame. I cannot believe that that is supposedly a hot topic. No, I don't know anything about the fact that McConnell used the word rimracked several times last night. I guess one of his handlers, one of his advisors, maybe Karl Rove. Maybe, who was the toe sucker that worked for Bill Clinton? Can't think of his name now. Can't think of the guy's name, but he's on TV. Not Bob Beck over the other one. I used to be friends with the Clintons. Maybe he was advising McConnell to use the term rimracked several times. Dick Morris, that's the name. So I don't know if Dick Morris was advising McConnell or if it was Karl Rove or if it was Ted Jackson. I don't know who told him to use the word rimracked several times last night. I'd never heard of the term rimracked before last night. So it's obviously an out-of-use term. If someone's out there claiming that they've heard the term their whole lives, well, I don't know anything about it. So I guess I learned something today. McConnell supporters are going to say he won the phony fake debate. Grimes supporters are going to say she won the phony fake debate. I really, really want somebody out there to call me next week or call me right now if you're still listening and you want to real quick, 858-683-1326. The ones who are listening on hold, press the 1 key if you have the answer to this question. I'm begging somebody to tell me they have the answer to this question. When is the last time you heard somebody get really, really excited about voting for McConnell or Grimes? Now, I don't mean they want to vote for somebody because they're excited to get rid of another candidate. I don't mean they want to vote for somebody because they want to get rid of somebody who's been in there 30 years. I don't mean they're excited to vote against a candidate because they think that that person is Obama's candidate. I'm talking about somebody actually getting excited about voting for one of these two. I don't know anybody that's excited about voting for either one. We live in Kentucky, which is, I guess you would call it heavily Republican these days. We live in Louisville, which is heavily Democrat. And we never, ever hear anybody tell us that they really, really love McConnell. Or they really, really love Grimes. Because they don't. They don't really, really love either one of these two candidates. And people are just stumbling towards the finish line, slouching towards the election day that we are going to have upon us in 3 weeks because they want it to be over. I wish we could get back to talking about why so many of these incumbents are double dippers and triple dippers in the public pension system. I wish we'd get back to talking about how the public pension system is so flawed. I wish we'd get back to real issues that some of us, like the folks down in Take Back Kentucky, which, believe it or not, they're coming up on another meeting this coming Saturday. Be a time for another Take Back Kentucky meeting. I wish people would get back to those kind of issues that we talk about at Take Back Kentucky. True Second Amendment rights. Talking about how the right and keep to bear arms shall not be infringed. What part of shall don't people understand? Truly being for property rights. Knowing that property is the fruit of our labor and the achievement of our goals, dreams, and aspirations, whether it is tangible or intangible. How about food freedom? How many debates for Congress or Senate have you heard lately? Call me tonight, call me next week and tell me how many of these debates have you heard where someone talked about raw milk or hemp or GMO foods or modified food? How many people are talking about the Ninth and Tenth Amendments and civil liberties in these debates? How many people are standing up against NSA spying programs in these debates? Here's one for you. How many people are talking about real ID and biometrics? How many people are talking about Agenda 21? How many people are talking about the Federal Reserve, a private central bank? For those of you all who don't know, a private central bank was a plank of the Communist Manifesto. And 101 years ago, Congress gave these private central banks, they called them the Federal Reserve, even though they're neither federal nor a reserve, gave them the authority to print our money. Anybody remember playing the game Monopoly? Anybody remember the rules of Monopoly if the bank ever ran out of money? Man, was Monopoly supposed to be a vision into our banking system? Because in the game of Monopoly, the rules said, quote, the bank collects all taxes, all fines, all loans, all interest, and the price of all properties which it sells in auctions. And the bank, quote, never goes broke, unquote. If the bank runs out of money, the banker may print as much as needed by writing on any ordinary paper. Man, does that sound familiar? Printing paper out of thin air? Because what money you have isn't worth anything, and you won't cut spending, and you won't cut waste, and you won't cut taxes. So you're writing money out of thin air. It sounds a lot like our system today, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like our system today. Because since its inception, the Federal Reserve and its board of banksters have participated in a process of trying to centrally control the economy along with the federal government through bad banking practices and transactions, backroom deals. The Federal Reserve primarily controls the economy through inflammatory, increasing the money supply, and deflationary, decreasing the money supply practices. Anybody ever wonder why they get to sit there and decide when they'll increase money and decrease money? It's rigged, folks. Everybody knows the dice are loaded. Well, most of us do now. Because these actions are not a natural result of a free market economy. Guess what? They have negative implications. They have negative effects on the economy over the past century that has culminated in the 101 years since the Federal Reserve Bank. So because the Federal Reserve is not really a constitutional entity, is not federal, and is not a reserve, it has not really accomplished its goal of stabilizing the money. And it won't accomplish the goal of helping the economy that we demand, and auditing of the Federal Reserve, ultimately ending the Federal Reserve, would enable us as a nation to finally figure out exactly where we stand financially and start to fix it. They don't talk about this in debates. They don't talk about C-SPAN, C-SPAN 2, or C-SPAN 3. Oh, every now and then you'll find a show. Maybe you can DVR it, or maybe you're up like an insomniac like some of us, and you'll see at 3 or 4 in the morning, you'll see the Council on Foreign Relations meeting, you know, that group that they told us doesn't exist. Don't think you'll see any trilateral meetings on there, but you'll see the Council on Foreign Relations. You'll see the United Nations, the ones that send out the pretty little blue berets in their uniforms, their powder blue uniforms. You'll see community organizers. You'll hear about central banking. But it doesn't ever make it to the debates for some reason. For some reason, the truth is not very popular. And what do we learn from the old quote? Sometimes people run into the truth and they'll just get up, wipe themselves off, and keep going as if they never ran into it in the first place. will remind you to listen to these airwaves every night, Sunday through Thursday night. We have shows on these airwaves, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 to 7 Central Time, 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the My View Matters Radio Network. You've been listening to the TNT Radio Show. We ask you to get involved. It's only 3 weeks to the elections. Please, if you don't do anything else, go to your state board of elections website and find out who all the candidates are. Don't depend on the junk food media to tell you, because as we've been saying over and over, we've been nailing this point. We've been drilling it home. They're not going to tell you about all the candidates. I would ask you to research all the candidates who are going to be on the ballot, and then research the candidates who are official write-in candidates. If you're like in a state here in Kentucky, people can file an official write-in campaign, which I think is a little ridiculous. I think if you are eligible for the position, I think your vote should be counted if someone writes your name in. I think if you're eligible and willing to serve in the position, your vote should be officially counted at the end. That's not too much work for them to do, but they're too lazy to do that. So they do make you file an official write-in campaign, and you have about another week and a half to do that in Kentucky. It's like $50. I would ask people when you go vote in 3 weeks, who are all my write-in options? Make sure they tell you who you can vote for. Don't let them just hand you the piece of paper and make you believe that you have to choose from Tweedledee or Tweedledum. You have choices. Find out what they are when you have them. Make some choices for yourself when you don't have them. Get involved. We thank you.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
Entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.